Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter number 1. And verse number 21. God always has a way of working everything out the way he wants it. And I appreciate his goodness to us, his mercy and his love. He always comes through. I trust God to help us tonight to share what he'd have me to share. And it'll be meaningful to you and meaningful to everything that goes on tonight. We'll bring glory to him as we think together on this. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21. Stand, please. A verse of scripture that you know by heart. You've heard over and over again. And here's what it says. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And I appreciate that verse of scripture. His name shall be called his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. And Lord, surely the songs have been sung. And blessings it's been to be here in this place. And Lord, I thank you. And I praise you for all your goodness unto us. And then, Lord, we think of those in bereavement. We think of those who are sick and those not able to come but would love to come. I pray you'd help them and touch their bodies according to your will and for your glory. Comfort hearts and give, I pray, that we need here tonight. You know every individual that's in the house of God. I pray the divine touch of God be upon every individual and every heart, every life, every person here tonight. Lord, you know who needs to get saved. You know who needs to rededicate their life. You know who needs to have encouragement given to them or whatever it is they need. I pray tonight that you minister unto them through the word of God and speak to their hearts. Help us tonight to be a blessing here. And I pray that as we stand that you'll help us to preach that divine touch of God. I pray for Holy Spirit leadership and guidance and direction. And everything that we say, magnify Jesus. And I pray tonight, Lord, speak to our hearts. Deal with our lives and help us, God. Leave the house of God saying it's been good to have been at the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. Fact is, I could already leave and say it's been good to have been in the house of God. Amen. Because it's already been good for me and I praise God and thank him for it. Now, let's think about the name Jesus. I'm just going to talk about the Savior of Christmas. And I'm talking about his name Jesus. Then we're going to go into something that I guess really follows up in a different message, but it all ties together because it's all about Jesus. And Old Testament word Jehovah means, Joshua rather, means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And Joshua in the New Testament is Jesus. And he means salvation. That's what he means. And the name itself. And somebody one time said his majesty in the name of God, personality in the name of Jehovah, unction in the name of Christ, affinity in the name of Emmanuel, intercession in the name of Advocate. But there's only one name for salvation, the name Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is our salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not but one name, Jesus. I know after all that ties together, Christ ties together, but his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I say hallelujah. There's an old song we used to sing, and I got to think about that this afternoon. And I remember going up in a little country church, and I remember hearing this song. If I could sing tonight, I'd hit out in a verse of this. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Now, I can't even get the, I got the tune in my head, but I couldn't get the tune to sing it to save my life. But I tell you right now, precious name, I can hear it in my mind right now. I can hear that choir singing it in that church. And we used to sing that a lot when I was growing up, and it is a precious name. Oh, how sweet it is. It's a hope of earth and joy of heaven. I'm glad for that precious name. I say to you tonight, thank God for the name Jesus. Sweetest name I know, sweetest name that's ever been uttered, sweetest name that's ever been said is Jesus. Jesus, amen. And by the way, he's not a byword. He's not something you just say to fill in somewhere. If you say Jesus, you ought to be talking about him or to him. Amen. He is precious. That name is precious. And I pray that God will help us tonight as you think about the name Jesus. It'll mean something to you. And I hope you know him personally as your Lord and Savior. By the way, let me just plug this in right here. The entire Bible is about redemption. That's all. That's what it's all about, is redemption. It's telling us about why we need redemption in Genesis 1 up through Genesis 11. He's talking about why we need redemption. In Genesis 11, picks up on the call of Abraham and gives us a channel through which redemption will come. And tells about that. I'm glad for the Jewish people. Amen. The Savior came through them. Then in the Gospels, he tells us about the purchase of salvation. I'm glad I'm glad he purchased redemption for us at Calvary, aren't you? Aren't you glad Jesus did that for you? And then the book of Acts is a proclamation of redemption. He went out, they were scattered. Persecution came, and the gospel got spread out. And that's how it works, by the way. I thought I'd plug that in right there, because sometimes we get too settled in where we are, and persecution has to arise to get us scattered, the gospel. But anyway, book of Acts, they proclaim the redemption. Then in the epistles is the explanation of redemption and begins to explain the working of redemption, how it affects our lives and so forth, establishing the churches. And then in Revelation is the consummation of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've read the last book. I'm glad I read the last chapter. I found out how it's going to wind up. And tonight, somebody said, nobody knows what's going to happen on tomorrow. I know what tomorrow holds. I really do. You say, preacher, you bragging about yourself? No, no. I read it in a book. Yeah. Amen. I read it in the book. Amen. Amen. Now, tomorrow, that's whenever tomorrow is, and you know, whenever that comes, that'll be tomorrow. And so he told me in this book that it's going to wind up all right. I'm going to wind up in heaven. Everything's going to be okay. And we're going to live forever and forever with Jesus. How much better can it get than that? And so tonight, aren't you glad for redemption? Buying back. That word redemption means to buy back. It means to buy back out of a slave market. It means to buy back out of the slave market and cannot be returned. Hallelujah. You'll get a lot of things you buy at Christmas time, and they'll give you a little receipt for it, a gift receipt. So if somebody doesn't like what they got, they can take it back. I tell you right now, you can't take redemption back. And if you ever get it, you don't want to anyhow. Amen. Whoever got an eternal life would want to take it back and get a refund on it. Amen. Hey, praise God. You got eternal life. You want, and I'm glad it is eternal life. And it is forever and forever. And I praise God and thank God for the blessed truth of the redemption. Amen. And praise God for the reality of that. Now turn with me, if you would please, in the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. I'm going to read you about 4 verses, and I'm going to take 3 of those and try to share something with you tonight quickly. And then we're going to do something different tonight. A little bit different out of the ordinary. Got something special coming up, and we want to make it special. And something I believe God's in. Something I want to see God bless and God help us with it. And in Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, and notice that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we're a peculiar bunch. Brother McIntosh, well, as I'm going out this morning, he come to me, and he's always an encouragement to my heart. I tell you that. And since they've been in this church, and they've just attended, but I tell you, I love them, and they've been such an encouragement. I don't care what I preach, he likes it. He just eats it up, and I praise God for it. And he come to me and talking about something I said this morning. We just sharing together and having a good time. How it blessed his heart, how it helped him, and what he needed. And I say, hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, they think I'm peculiar. Now, he didn't come from Baptist background, but they asked him why he's going to Baptist church. And here's what he said. He said, I'm getting fed better than I ever got fed. I'm not bragging about that. That's just God. That's just God doing something. They're back there waving at me. Hallelujah, rooting me on to preach. I tell you, that'll help any preacher want to preach. Amen. Knowing somebody comes in hungry and somebody comes in wants you to preach. It reminds me when we first got saved, we come to church and we just want somebody to preach Jesus to us. And we may have heard it over and over, but it got good every time we heard it. Amen. And we just got in the service, and we didn't come to get out, we come to get in. And boy, they just come to get in. They just want me to preach, and they just want to have a good time in the Lord. Isn't that how it ought to be? And now it ought to be. I say we are a peculiar bunch. Fact is, the world thinks we're peculiar. Hey, a lot of Baptists think we're peculiar. Amen. And we are a peculiar bunch. And we're God's children. We're different. And they may think we're nuts, but that's okay. If we are, we're screwed on the right bolt. Amen. And that's okay too. And they may call us what they... Somebody said they're fanatics down there. I said, I'd rather have a fan in the attic, no breeze at all. Amen. And let her blow, praise God. And just let something happen for the glory of God. It's all right to be excited. It's all right to shout about Jesus. It's all right to wave your hand. It's all right to get in and thank God for the reality of that. And it's all right to come to church and say, preach to me, preacher, and tell me the old story. Tell it anew. Oh, precious is the name of Jesus. Amen. And we want to hear it over and over again. I want to hear that precious name. I take for granted, and I'll be honest with you, I take for granted much of the time that I've heard the name Jesus. Do you not? I've heard it all my life. I grew up hearing the name Jesus. I can't tell you the first time I ever heard the name Jesus. I can't tell you the first time somebody ever told me Jesus loved me. I heard it since I was just a little bitty fella. I can't remember a time when somebody wasn't telling me something about Jesus. And so I know that. But there's people in this world that's never heard the name Jesus. There's people never heard it even uttered. They don't know what he's about. They don't know anything about him. Here I am. I've heard it all my life. And I take for granted sometimes about that name Jesus. But tonight, I want to go on record saying, blessed be the name of Jesus. And precious is the name of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the name. Oh, how precious is that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my salvation. He's my hope. He's my help. He's my advocate. He's my everything. And tonight I praise him and thank him and love him completely. Amen. And totally in my life. I identified that word satisfied this morning. I said, leaves nothing to be desired. Amen. And I'm glad I'm satisfied in Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I'm satisfied with what he did for me. I'm satisfied with what he does for me now. I'm just satisfied he's with me. You say, preacher, you're preaching what I preach. I like this good this morning when preaching. Amen. I'm just satisfied. And when you're satisfied, you have absolutely nothing left to complain about. Amen. And boy, that'd do us all good. Think on that. But anyway, three things real quickly. I want you to look at verse number 11. In Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I said some have never heard the name Jesus. Now I want you to know that's not the Lord's fault. That's not God's fault they hadn't heard the name Jesus. Somewhere down the road, somebody failed to tell them about Jesus. And some generation failed to pass it on to the next generation that they might pass it on to the next generation. I've used Brother Kenyon many times as an example of somebody going over there and telling his granddad about Jesus. And he got saved. And then he told his son got saved. And then he told Brother Kenyon he got saved. And I say, hallelujah. And what if Brother Kenyon Kenya hadn't stayed in church and told his children about Jesus, somewhere they would begin to lose that name, Jesus, and about salvation, how it works. They would have missed it, but they kept telling it, and they kept telling it. And now here they are in church, and they're telling it. I say, thank God and the Lamb. And we got to pass it on to the next generation so they can tell their generation about Jesus. Amen. I mention teenagers, young people a lot. I want to encourage them, and I love them, and I do encourage them, but I want them. And if Jesus doesn't come and take us out, and I believe he will, but if he doesn't, I want them to grow up and tell Josie down there about Jesus. Amen. I want them to, and her to grow up and tell somebody if time goes on that long. I want everybody to hear about Jesus. Amen. The grace of God appeared to all men. But we see Jesus made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. Boy, I like that. You can tell I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. Amen. I don't believe Jesus died just for a few folk. He died for everybody. He died for every sinner. He died for President Obama. Amen. He died for every liberal there is. He died for everybody, everywhere. He died for them. And we ought to have a concern and compassion for everybody. Amen. After a while, we're going to have a special time of prayer. And it's going to be over some boxes. You say, preacher, you're surely not going to pray over boxes. We are. We're going to pray over boxes. If you came through the back hallway, you saw a bunch of them. And in those boxes, you know what's in them? There's boxes in boxes. And there's shoe boxes. There's boxes that some of y'all have fixed. There are boxes that some by other churches may have fixed. There are boxes that individuals may have fixed. There are boxes some of our young people worked on and fixed. And you know where they're going? They're going to Mexico. And Paquette and some folks are going to take them down to Mexico. You know what's inside every box? Inside of every box. Now, there's some goodies, and there's some things children will love to get, and they'll be excited about it. But inside of every box, there's a track that tells about Jesus Christ and his love for them. I say hallelujah. I want every track that gets in every hand of every individual. There'll be some kids down there that'll get a track and never heard much about Jesus, if anything. There'll be some that mom and dad don't know what it's all about. They may pick it up and read it. They may pass it to grandma and grandpa. They may pass it to a cousin come by. They may lay it on the street and somebody pick it up. But somebody somewhere is going to read some of them, and somebody going to get saved. And because we tonight had a desire in our hearts and they had a desire in their heart to send some boxes down to somebody so they could get the gospel. I say hallelujah. That may not excite you, but it does me. Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad we can have a part in that. Amen. And that's all. You know what makes that all possible? Jesus. You know why Paquette went down there? Jesus. And it's not that, they're good missionaries. They're doing a good work. I thank God for them. I thank God for all the other missionaries in the house. I praise God for that. But it's not because of them anything happened. It's because of Jesus. It's not because of me anything's ever happened around Gateway. It's because of Jesus. It's not, hallelujah for Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Jesus, amen. Thank God for that precious name. It's just Jesus, Jesus all the time. And I'm glad that name Jesus is going to be in the box. And we're going to ask God to bless that box. Not the box itself, but the message in the box. I want to bless the box to get there. You going to drive any, Robin? Anyway, I want the boxes to get there and get in good shape so that when you get there and give them out to somebody and somebody get the message. Amen. I was going to preach a few minutes tonight, and sometimes my few minutes gets wound up. But anyway, that gospel appeared all. Jesus died as much for those mixing down there as he did for me. In fact, here's Brother Bill. That man you see in the prison, and somebody tell me about the prison ministry tonight, and talking about somebody had molested a child and so forth, some children, and all of that. I want you to know Jesus loves him just as much as he ever loved me or you. Amen. It may be somebody committed murder. It may be somebody that committed awful sin. But I can tell you right now, Jesus loves them. And Jesus died for them. Amen. And tonight we need to understand Jesus died for all people. Number two, look at verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Somebody said, I'm going to shout all over God's heaven when I get home. Well, what's wrong with shouting all over God's earth while you're here? And what's wrong, amen, with enjoying it while you're here? And what's wrong with living godly now? And we talk about the fact we're going to get a new body. I realize in this flesh, we'll never be perfect in that sense that being sinless in the flesh. I am perfect in Christ. My standing's right. My standing's perfect. My practicality of living down here, I have a problem with self. But I'm glad even then God helps me now, because I said this morning, he moved on the inside and he helps me now to live for God and give me a new desire, new things in my heart. I praise his holy name. I thank him for his goodness to me. Amen. What happened to that maniac there out there when he met Jesus? He's naked, screaming, crying. He reminds me of rock and roll bunches today. But anyway, he's acting that kind of way. But when he met Jesus, he put on his clothes, sat down at the feet of Jesus, and the Bible said, in his right mind. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad you can be in your right mind. And Jesus makes a difference. Amen. Why? You remember when Lazarus raised from the dead and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I believe when you get saved, God says, loose him and let him go. Amen. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is a Savior. He can set you free, but then he can help you live like you ought to live for God. Amen. Somebody waved at me on that one too. I'm glad. See, some folk have been in bondage so deep and so wide that they know when I say God can set them free, they know what I'm talking about. Now, someone's got saved young and maybe not got in as much as others did, but you're as much in bondage as they were. Because you're in bondage to yourself and devil and sin and the world. And Jesus came by and set you free. Amen. I'm glad he did. Zacchaeus is up that tree. I haven't preached on him in a long time. But old little old Zacchaeus climbed a tree and looked down, trying to see Jesus. I'm glad he wanted to see Jesus. He's looking for the right person. And Jesus came by and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Every child likes that little story. And he made haste and came down. He'd been a tax collector and all that, and undoubtedly been on fire. He told Jesus, he said, anything I've taken wrongly, I'll restore fourfold. That's good evidence he got it. Amen. He said, I'm going to make amends everywhere I can make amends. I'm going to try to do what's right. I'm trying to straighten this mess out if I can. Hey, that's exactly what Jesus does for you. When he saves you, he helps you straighten up the mess. Amen. And we all was in a mess when Jesus found us. But Jesus come by and said, I'm going to take that mess and I'm going to make something out of it for the glory of God. Amen. And now we can live godly and soberly and righteously in this present world. Amen. Don't have to live like a devil. You don't have to live ungodly. You don't have to live that way. You can live for God in this present time. But look at verse number 13. Now, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. We are now being saved from the power of sin. We shall be saved from the presence of sin. And verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:20-21, for our conversation is in heaven, whence we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I say hallelujah, whereby he's able to do all things unto himself. I love that. I love it. Who shall change our vile body, that may be like unto his glorious body? One day resurrection's coming. Jesus is coming. And when it does, hallelujah, when he breaks the eastern sky and the shouts may come up hither and the church is going to go up, I say glory to God. We'll be in a glorified body. You talking about having a time. We will have a time. And it gets good down here thinking about the time we're going to have over there. But I got some of that time in me down here. Do I get me over there in that time? A little heaven in me. Do I get me to heaven? Put it however you want to. But I'm saying to you tonight, thank God it's real. It's real to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior right now. And I praise God and thank God for that. Let me ask you tonight, and I believe God laid this on my heart. I believe there's somebody here tonight needs to get right with God. Somebody, somewhere in the house needs to let God help you. You're in that state of somewhere out there. You don't know maybe where you are, but God does. And he, the Holy Ghost tonight, is speaking to your heart, dealing with your life, and trying to draw you and woo you to come unto him. I say to you tonight, we let God help you. We let God do something for you. And what I've tried to say tonight is Jesus is the answer. Jesus has saved us from the penalty. He's saving us from the power. And he's going to save us from the very presence. Thank God for Jesus tonight. Sweetest name I know. Hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Oh, precious name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for a privilege just to come and try to brag on Jesus a little bit. Lord, just to say how good he is, and we can't even get it said. I can't express it. I don't have a vocabulary. I'm incapable. But Lord, tonight I pray everybody in this house would have to go away saying Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason for the season that we're approaching. It's not about Santa Claus, it's about Jesus. It's not about something we're going to give or get. It's about Jesus. God, help us. Help us exalt Jesus. Help us remember it's Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.